What's my horse's handicap?
The fact that you're backing him.
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Punchers Town Day 1 postcast. We're going to preview the whole card. I'm Maddie Playle, joined in the studio by Tom Park, Dave Orton and Sam Harley from Paddy Power as well. We're going to jump on straight in there with the 340, which is the Sean Breen Memorial Chase for the Ladies Perpetual Cup. Dave, any thoughts on this? Ennis Skillin, he's a 14-year-old. He won it in 2017. He's always thereabouts in races.
Yeah, like Peter Maha is second only to Ender Bolger over the banks, really, over there. And the two of them have kind of attacked this race. Ender Bolger won it six times, I think, in the past decade. He hasn't won it in the past couple of years. But his two horses will be the ones that punters will be concentrating on. And with Derek O'Connor taking the ride on, you cannot be serious. He hasn't been seen since 2017. But he was a very promising horse. And he's obviously had quite a few injuries, etc. But this is usually a good start for punters in this race. You either love it or you loathe it, the banks, don't you? But yeah, it's something that I've always, you know, quite enjoyed. Wish he didn't. Was a back-to-back winner a couple of years ago. Massive gambles, you'll see.
Yeah, Sam, do you love the banks race or loathe it?
I'm not a massive fan, to be honest. Ender Bolger and Peter Maher, I think they keep these races alive. But yeah, I suppose anything with form in them over previous years, look at what was up there in the front five of last year, and that's kind of, you won't go too far wrong.
Yeah, it's important to sort of keep horses who have experience over the fences in mind. We race like this, isn't it?
Ender Bolger actually has a full banks track at home where he schools them all.
At Martinstown, yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool, isn't it? Yeah, any thoughts before we move on?
No, I think you'd be pretty foolish to take Ender Bolger on in these kind of races. Derek O'Connor as well is the best jockey in the race, so.
Yeah. Perhaps follow the money then. That's our advice for the first race. The second race is the 420 Herald Champion Novice Hurdle. We see Classical Dream, the Supreme winner, back here. Sam, what price can we get on him?
So we've Classical Dream at the top of the market at 4-6. We've Felix Desgy at 11-2. We've Aramon and Champagne Platinum 7s. Quick Grab'em 8s. And Mr. Blue Sky at 10s.
Interesting angle to this, Dave, with Champagne Platinum back out again.
Yes, I shall wheel out this stat again. Last British horse to win this was 1997 Midnight Legend, who everyone knows now as a top jump sire. So it just shows you how hard it is. Nicky Henderson likes to go over to this meeting. He targets it, you know, just after Sandown every year. He has had some great success over there. He's got a strong team going over. I like this horse. Newbury form hasn't quite worked out, as you might think, but he's fresh, isn't he? I mean, if you look at the last couple of winners of this race, a Draconian for Willie Mullins, Chilos Emery, Willie Mullins, we know they're decent horses, but they were turn-ups.
I think he won it with Fahine and Duman as well, not Vittor.
On the flip side, they were the last winning favourites, Supreme. So, Classical Dream, where do we go with this? I mean, Ruby's been very complimentary about this chap, despite the fact, and you know, I can't get away from this, I headed into that Supreme thinking it's not been a great year, and it was a bit of a funny race. He was up there. But if you look at the authority with which he won and now what's up against him, you know, Aramon was well held by him. And while he's run another blinder, you know, at Aintree, maybe this sounder surface, we know he's held by him. Felix Stagey was in the race as well. Maybe Quick Grab'em, who's obviously not been seen for quite some time, he might just be the one to give him too much to do.
Okay. I've got to admit, I was in the same boat as you, Parky, heading into Cheltenham. I wasn't a big Classical Dream fan. Watched the race, I think, a couple of times afterwards. Could not be anything other than impressed. I thought he was awesome.
He reminded me of Vortura a little bit. He's a big, big old chap and very athletic. And yeah, he
jumped for fun, didn't he?
Absolutely brilliant he was.
He's so keen too, wasn't he?
Yeah, like he's just...
How he couldn't hold him.
I mean, I think wherever they can, he is their big, exciting horse now. I think wherever they go next year, whether it be... I'd be tempted to take advantage of a weak champion hurdle division, but yeah, I mean, look, he looks a chaser, so the Arco would be the obvious race. He looks to have bags of speed. I know he's won over 2.5 miles as well, but that was a brilliant performance at Cheltenham. Just touching on this race, I'm a big fan of Aramon.
I think he wants good ground, doesn't he?
He always turns up, and he's been well held by Classical Dream. Now, there's nothing to suggest that he's going to overturn that form, so I wouldn't really be taking him on. But if you were to get a match bet with maybe Felix Desgy, that would probably be something that would interest me, because I think Felix Desgy might be fighting for the pace with Classical Dream and
hard
might
race
blow
at
up.
Entry,
he had a hard race at Aintree. He was given a very, very good ride that day. And Aramon might just be one that will come late and Quick Grab'em maybe, but yeah, in a match bet with Felix Desgy, if there's any markets on that available, then that would be the kind of bet that I'd be looking at having that race.
Okay, Sam, what's your stance on Classical Dream?
Yeah, I'm with the guys. Like, the form lines add up. Obviously, Cheltenham, he has Felix Jezji and Ironman both held. I think in a six-runner race, there's not really any benefit to trying to take him on. Betting without Champagne Platinum could be interesting. It'd be interesting to see what the sort of market vibes are like on him on the day. Obviously, sort of looking pretty impressive at the start of the year. Haven't seen him in a while. We have, just in terms of next year for Classical Dream, we have him sixes for the Arkle and eights for the Champion. It'll be interesting to see if Willie reveals what direction they'll take after the race tomorrow.
Yeah, it certainly will. The 4:55 is the Killeshee Handicap Hurdle over 2 miles, half a furlong. One, I'm quite interested in this, but I'll go to one of the lads first. Sam, we'll start with you. Who's your fancy in the handicap?
Yeah, so the one for me is Golden Spear. He hasn't actually been seen since the 3rd of November, where he won in Down Royal, or Down Patrick. He's for Tony Martin, ridden by Owen O'Connell. I just think he's sort of been a big name in handicaps over the years. Over this last summer, he ran some of the big flat handicaps. When he won in November, they probably put him away for this. Tony Martin, you can't go too far wrong in these big handicaps. I wouldn't be surprised to see him. Big gamble on the day.
Yeah, you certainly can't. Just check in that my fancy's still engaged. He is Canito for Joseph O'Brien. He was favourite to turn over Band of Outlaws at Nace in February, of course. I think he'll be really interesting. Probably be a short price, though, Dave.
A trio of these juveniles who look interesting. Lassara Alita is one of a couple for Mullins. Danny Mullins takes a ride on her. Belargus is interesting.
Yeah, Nick Gifford's horse.
Gifford. And they were, you know, Noel Madden's on him, but with JJ Slevin and the connection he's got over Joseph, that's probably why he's not on Canito. But Canito was interesting, wasn't he? He was expected to kind of beat a Band of Outlaws according to the market, and it was a funny stop-start sort of race. You got the feeling there's a handicap in him for sure. I think he could well go a favourite. Yeah,
he caught the eye, Parky, to me.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he doesn't go a favourite. I think he is the real interesting horse in the race. Horse that I like is Raya Time. He's still a maiden, but he's been running well against some decent horses. I think he was only beaten 3 lengths by City Island earlier in the year. I mean, on that form, he'd be...
His favourite to beat in that day.
Yeah, he was, yeah. So on that form, I think he's gone a favourite just about every start he's been at. So,
he called some names,
Yeah, he probably has been called some names. It suggests he's got a bit of promise. I mean, I think he's gone 2-2-2-2, so the names could well be just. But off 1-2-7, he could just underestimate his chance, really, because 3 lengths by City Island certainly would be well handicapped off 1-2-7. I think he was beaten by Animix last time, who was obviously a talking horse.
And his race that day as well, didn't he? I remember watching that closely, that race. Animix, I think, is a horse that we're going to hear more about next season.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, that's very interesting. The 5:30 is the Boys Sports Champion Chase, another grade one. Min, likely to be the short favourite, Sam, but under so last year's winner, hopefully he won't be too far behind him.
Yep, so we've Min in at 4-7. We've Underso 5-2. Great Field 7-1. Castle Grace Paddy 14-1. Hell's Kitchen 22-1. And Ordinary World 33-1.
Thank you very much. Parky, we know where we lie with the front two in the market to an extent. Min impressing last time. But you mentioned an interesting horse in Great Field on the Monday postcast.
Yeah, he just doesn't get over his fences very often. That's the problem with Great Field, but we don't know how good he is. Every time he's got over his fences, he's won by an absolute country mile. Whether he's good enough to beat Min and Underso if he stands up, who knows? I'd be surprised. Look, if I was forced to have a bet in this race, I would probably be siding with Underso. He's a little bit fresher. But Min was so good at Aintree. He was so good at Aintree. But look, dropping back in trip, he's a short enough price. Good race. Great Field brings a different angle to it. They're going to go very, very quick. Undersaw's got a bit of form over further. Might be the better stayer between them if they really do go hard. Probably side of Underso, but it's not one that I'll be having a bet in.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Underso, he's just always an underrated horse. And Politologue, he did bleed at Aintree, didn't he? Or burst a blood vessel or something. So maybe that form was, maybe he was flattered a tiny bit, Dave, but
it was a masterclass from Ruby, I think. He worked out on Kenboy on the first day that he just had to be on the pace. Watched back all of the chases at Aintree, bar maybe the last day when it started to dry up that little bit. I think that he just had to be up there. And you're right, do we take it on face value? He was beaten in the race, of course, previously. And so last year when he won this, it was one of the moments of the season for me last year. It was such a good effort. He's fresh, they've kept him for this. The burn-up on paper is there to be seen. It historically hasn't really been a race for turn-ups, not since Golden Silver in 2010, as they've been one over 10 to 1. It usually goes to class. 4-7 for me is too short. I think Parky's right. I think if there is a solid one, it probably is under so. Great field, we just don't know. You're right. Mm. Hell's Kitchen is relatively interesting. I wouldn't be surprised to see him come in.
Yeah.
He's a nutter, isn't he? I think Tom Segal, one of the very early podcasts that we did over the championship, said the most talented nutter in training. If you remember in the champion chase, he actually tried to put it up to Altior. He paid for that, and he ran well in fourth. He did. If there's a turn up, it'll be him.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I backed him each way in the champion chase. Just typical, wasn't it? Where does he finish? But he is a talented horse. Sam, over to you for your vote finally.
Yeah, I backed under so on the Ryanair at Cheltenham. I just thought he showed that he wasn't the force of old. I was seriously impressed with Maynard. Aintree left his Cheltenham form behind and beat Politolog 20 lengths. Obviously, a bit too good to be true, but just turned up on the day. I think my play for the first day would probably be to combine Min and Classical Dream to get William Mullins off to a good start. I think it pays around 13 to 8. That'll probably be the way I'd approach it.
Yeah, I think quite a lot of people would be interested in that double. We'll move on to the Goff's Land Rover bumper, which is at 6:05. Now, we mentioned, you're keen on Vision de Flow for the Stayers race. Robert Tyner, he's had a couple of winners in this race in recent years with Coeur de Lion in 2016, Vision de Flow the year after. I think he's got a few in this. It's hard to gauge, isn't it? But what sort of approach would you take in a race like this? Would you side with connections? Or
connections, probably, yeah. If I'm honest, if I'm forced to have a bet in this, I kind of look for the Gordon Elliott, Jamie Codd angle. I mean, they win enough at these kind of meetings. And if I'm there, I'll probably be backing something like that. Or if not, I'll be keeping a close eye on the market and following where the money is. We don't know a lot about them. Yeah.
Good race to watch for future, though.
Oh, absolutely. There's been some very good winners of this race. A valuable race for its kind. And, yeah, look, you see some great horses, Cheltenham Festival winners, so good races to watch, good races to analyse. Not really a betting heat for me.
Yeah, okay, well summed up. No outright favourites won this since 2013, Dave.
Yeah, again, you stole my thunder there. I was going to say that. Thanks for that. And also on the Robert Tyner front, he's got Derek O'Connor books, isn't he, for that one. And so that will be, you can bet your life that they've been aiming at this all season with that race. Mm. Henderson's got one in there, Son of Camas. Patrick Mullins has been booked. I seem to remember a couple of years ago they had something that just couldn't get beat in the race. It turned out to not
Jenkins.
Be very good. Jenkins was
probably
second in the race, wasn't he, of course. Mm. Was that to Vision de Flow? Might have been.
So
a race to watch, look at the market. Parky's right, the Cod is on one for Elliot.
Okie dokie. Sam, any more insight to offer?
Yeah, just looking at the last 4 years there, it's 2-2 to Robert Tyner and Gordon Elliott. Produced a few decent horses and Commander Fleet, Vision de Flow, Coeur de Lion, Petit Mouchoir. Prominent trainers and prominent jockey bookings will tell a tale here in the betting.
Okay, we'll move on then, because no one really knows what's going to happen in that one, do they? The 6:40 is the Dooley Insurance Group Champion Novice Chase, a race that I'm really looking forward to. Run us through the betting, Sam.
So we've Delta Work in at 5-4. We've Aplu Tired 2-1. Get a Bird 13-2. Articulum 10-1. Drover's Lane 12-1 and 16-1 bar.
Dave, I'll go to you first on this one. I know Parky's a big Aplu Tired fan. I think you liked him with the Champion Chase, didn't you? But we'll get your word first.
I am still keeping the faith with Delta Work. It just wasn't Davey's week at Cheltenham, which is unusual for him. He usually has a blinder.
No, he went the whole week without a winner, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, which is the first time in a long time. And I just thought, if he had his time again, he would have committed a bit sooner on this horse. The reason why they didn't was because at Leopardstown, when he won his prep, you know, at Christmas time, they thought he idled, having looked like he was going to win off the track. This is a serious horse, this, and I don't think we've seen the best of him. And I did write, when I wrote the analysis for the RSA, three decent novices that we've got, you know, that dominated the finish, rightly so. It was a funny race, though, and I thought that he was the chief sufferer. Mm. And I do expect him to win.
Do you think top of the game, I mean, we would dub that as one of the races of the season, didn't we? Race of the Cheltenham Festival. Did top of the game let the form down at Aintree? Or
Aintree wasn't really his track. And again, he was against a little bias that day as well. Maybe slightly over the top, don't know. But I would keep the faith, I think. Aplu Tired, who Tom's going to get to in a minute, obviously. But it's usually you're looking at a Ryanair sort of Danny Power Gold Cup type horse that comes out of that novice. I know he absolutely hosed up, and he probably beat the right horse in Tower Bridge. He didn't get quite the rub of the green at Cheltenham, but I need to see it first and over this trip as well.
I know what you mean, Parky. Personally, I looked at the race and I thought, well, he's officially rated a pound higher than Delta Work. He's 160 now at Appleton, and he's getting £5 from him. So for me, I think he could be a bit of an angle. I'm not sure.
Yeah, look, he was brilliant at Cheltenham. It was a very, very good deal when he won that. Robbie Wilder's actually pointed out the other day that Henry de Bromhead had liked a tweet that someone had said, one of the news firms in Ireland had said that he was going for this race. Robbie had said to me, it's still 12-1. So we got on a bit at 12-1. So we're on a good bet. Yeah, it's Robbie. He's the judge. Look, he's 2-1 now. He's got a lot to prove. He was exceptional at Cheltenham. And as you pointed out earlier, I did think that they would probably drop this horse back in trip. That was what kind of where I saw his future. I think Stu Riley pointed out that he'd ran a quicker time from two out to the finish than Duke de Geneva did on the same card, despite running half of a mile more. Mm. That suggests he's got a lot of speed.
Also suggests the Arkle was quite a weak race.
The Arkle might have been a very weak race, yeah. Look, they clearly think he's going to stay. I think it's worth a shot to see if it opens opportunities up for next year for him, definitely. They've got to try him. Try him in great company. Try him in... My angle now would be... Well, my angle now, I've already had my bet, but I'll certainly be back and get a bird as well, because I think he's the wrong price. Look, he's going back right-handed again. He needs to go right-handed for a start. He's fresh. He should relish the step up in trip. I've always thought that he would be better over this kind of trip. He was a point-to-point winner way back in the day, so he could just be... He's meant to be flying at home, and I really think that he I'll have to be having a say. It's 7-1. I think he's a good bet at 7-1.
Okay, Sam, who are you siding with?
Yeah, Get a Bird's my angle as well. He's the fresh horse. He hasn't run since Christmas, where he was second at Limerick. He just hit the last that day. He should have won. Should be unbeaten over fences. I think step up and trip to 3 miles is going to suit him down to the ground. I think taking on the two horses that have run another engagements throughout the year, he just could pick off tired horses towards the end when it turns into a battle.
Yeah, I can see that angle materialising, as much as I do like Appleton. Funny things can happen at these end of season festivals, can't they? Final races at 7:15, the Sanctuary Synthetics flat race. Another tricky one, understandably, for us to fathom. But some good horses have won this. Grand Gesture 2012, Very Wood 2013, Forgotten Rules 2014, Silos Emery in 2016. Dave, who's the newest star going to be? Who's going to add their name to that roll of honour?
Good question. The Sheveley Park have got one called Zambezi Fix in the race with Jamie Codd. Undoubtedly, this would have been aimed at this, I think. Mullins has got one in there for Bally Doyle, but it's a reserve I see at the moment, so we'll wait to see whether that gets in. But again, you just follow the market, really. And Elliot, as Tom said earlier, these mean a lot to him, these races, and future stars, I think. So
yeah, they definitely do. Interesting that Cheveley Park of this season really focused on the jumps, isn't it? And
yeah.
I mean, they had, what was the horse they had before Envoy Allen came out? Malone Road.
Malone Road.
I really liked him as well. So they've got a lot of good horses to go to war with.
Yeah, absolutely. As Dave pointed out, I think they'll have tied. Look, if I was at Punchestown and 10 pints deep by that point, it tends to be...
We know which way you'd be going, don't worry.
Me pouring into the
Elliott horse in the last... I think it's interesting that he's running. Again, you've got to trust market support, but I imagine he'll be a short price favourite on the connections alone.
Okay, and Sam, finding any whispers for anything in the bumper?
Just going back to a Goran race, Blue Sari beat a horse called Front View of Joseph O'Brien's. After that race, JP McManus actually went off and bought Blue Sari. Front View was sent off a short price favourite that day, and he was really fancied to win. Reason being, they went off and bought Blue Sari. He was brought down the last day at Nace, but I could see him being close with Derek O'Connor on board.
Okay, interesting angle. Blue Sari, great run in the champion bumper behind Envoy. Alan, let's get your day one naps.
This will not be beaten.
Dave Orton.
Delta Work.
He's sticking with him. He's sticking by his guns. Sam Harley.
Get a Bird each way.
Okay, and Tom Park.
Yeah, Get a Bird each way for me as well.
You're covering all your bases in that race. Thanks for joining us for this day one Punchestown postcast. As always, best of luck with your bets and we'll see you soon.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.